Hi, my name is Sydney Mitchell.
Hi, I'm Matthew Brickman, Florida Supreme Court mediator. Welcome to the Mediate This podcast, where we discuss everything mediation and conflict resolution.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode of Mediate This. I'm Sydney, sitting here with Matthew, and today we are going to be answering some of the questions that you, our listeners, have been submitting to us about all things divorce and mediation. So let's just jump right in. If you do have a question in the future that you would love for us to dive into on an episode of Mediate This, you can just send an email, submit your questions to info@ichatmediation.com. It'll get sent directly to us, and we'll hopefully be able to answer your questions here.
So do we have another question?
I do. Our next question here reads, if we aren't married but share joint ownership of assets, do I need a mediator or attorney?
So needing a mediator or attorney depends on the laws in your state. Whether or not it's joint ownership or individual ownership, it depends. So like in Florida, you've got to go to mediation. So you're coming to mediation with or without an attorney. You have to come to mediation. So and with if it's joint ownership or individually owned, you're still having to come to mediation. You're not getting in front of a judge without seeing me. Well, not just me, but other mediators, but still without seeing a mediator. So, if you're not married and, wait a second. Let me back up here. Okay. So first off, whether or not it's joint ownership or not, yes, you're going to need to come to a mediator or an attorney, when dealing with a divorce. But this says, if you're not married and you share a joint ownership of an asset, do you need a mediator or attorney? So I think what this is meaning now, and so rereading this is like a paternity action where they may own a home together or a car together. They may have a bank.
They're not married.
So they're not married, but they share joint ownership of an asset. Do they need a mediator or an attorney? So this is interesting. The family court does not have jurisdiction over the asset. So technically, they have to come and deal with the child issues and the child support in a family court, and then they need to go to a civil court or circuit court and deal with their home, if it's like a home. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of times where I will deal with both of them. We'll put them all in a family court and take care of all of it at once, because it is a cheaper, easier way to go. I mean, nobody wants to open up two different cases in two different courts with two different sets of rules. It's easier just to say, hey, look, we have a kid, we bought a home, but we're not married. We both put the money down. And what's interesting is, you know, family law, when it comes to real estate, was based off of real estate law in the civil court anyway, or vice versa. In any case, the law is the same. So, so it is easier. And I've had that just recently. They actually had a home that they had purchased before they had gotten together as a couple. And, you know, we don't have common law, so they were never married, but before they got together and had the child, for all intents and purposes, they were married. Like if they lived in one of these other states, they'd be like, yeah, you're married, right? Because mm-hmm. they had a car that was titled to both of them. They had joint bank accounts, and they had a house that they had purchased together. So for all intents and purposes, you're like, yeah, they're married. This is a divorce. Nope. That's not how it went down. So we had talked with them, me and the attorneys, we had talked with them and said, look, you know, we could do two, or the attorneys could do two filings, but they said, no, let's just deal with it. So what they did, and neither of them wanted the home, neither of them could individually afford the home. So we simply did the same thing we do even in a marriage, where we said, look, the home is going to be listed for sale with a licensed real estate agent. We pulled in all the times, all the stuff and whatnot. They're going to equally divide the net proceeds, you know, while it's being sold, this is who's paying for what and everything. So we still dealt with it just like we would, but we did it all in a family court, even though they were never married.
Gotcha.
But they had joint ownership of an asset. it's not a rare thing, because there's a lot of people that are just, you know, what I term playing house, you know, not married.
I would argue that this is, I mean, just increasingly relevant today.
Yeah.
You know, I see more and more people doing this. So,
well, and with the younger generation, they are very focused on, we're going to back up. This is almost your generation, Sydney, but quite self-absorbed and narcissistic. Just look at Instagram. Everybody thinks that they're an Instagram model in a Target dressing room, trying on clothes, and look at me, I'm a fashionista. Like,
really? I can't even tell you how much of that I see.
It is ridiculous. But here's the thing. So they are very narcissistic and self-absorbed, but they, a lot of them are goal-oriented, hardworking, and they're focused on them. Which, being that they are focused on themselves, that means they're less focused on others, which means they're not getting married sooner. They're getting married later in life, which means that they are, but look, that doesn't mean they ain't having sex and having babies and buying homes. No. Unfortunately, this was as of 2019. We don't have 2020 statistics yet, even though it's 2021. As of the date of recording this, but in 2019, never has it been so high, ever, that 40%, and that's a huge number, 40% of the children being born in America are born out of wedlock.
Wow.
That means that 40% of the children are being born straight into a time-sharing parenting plan. Mm-hmm. 40%. That's how many kids are being born. But don't think that mommy and daddy aren't buying things, doing things, playing house, all of that, where they're not married, but they have joint ownership of an asset. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you still need a mediator, and sometimes you might need an attorney. And, you know, the other thing, too, is maybe you're not married when you bought that asset, but now you're married. So it's a premarital asset, or maybe, you know, the wife bought the house. I had one recently where the wife bought the house while they were dating for a number of years. She purchased a house. Then they got married. She has continued to pay for the house. She's paid 100% of everything for the house. The house is hers. He could never, ever, ever take the house. But he does have a monetary interest. There's a component that he has monetarily in the home. So we have to, there's a formula for what they call passive appreciation, that we have to run a formula for what was the house valued at the date of file, at the date of marriage or acquisition, what was it at date of filing, how much has been paid. You know, there's a whole formula that says, okay, his marital interest is X. So she would owe him X out of the house, right? And so even though it's individually owned, but then it crosses that line into the marriage, we still have ways of figuring that out, that, you know, you're still going to need an attorney or a mediator for, because they're not going to have that formula.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hopefully that I think that sort of answers the question, and maybe even not the question, above and beyond, just because I misread it in the beginning, or misheard you.
No, I love the above and beyond. As I mentioned, I've said this to you before, you know, I think these questions bring up such good conversation. You know, it's almost like two or three questions per question, because they're so, well, what if this happens and this happens? And, you know, I think there are so many listeners that are in some of those outstanding situations. And so for you listeners, if and when you want to submit questions, we would love to answer them. As a reminder, you can email info@ichatmediation.com. We want to roll through as many of these questions as we can. They have been so, so good. Matthew, thank you for all of your knowledge. Gosh, every time we do a podcast, I am learning more and more. It's been incredible.
Occasionally, Sydney and I will be releasing Q&A bonus episodes where we will answer your questions and give you a personal shout out.
If you have a comment or question regarding anything that we discuss, email us at info@ichatmediation.com. That's info@ichat, I-C-H-A-T, mediation.com. And stay tuned to hear your shout out and have your question answered here on the show.
For more information about my services or to schedule your mediation with me, either in person or using my iChat mediation virtual platform built by Cisco Communications, visit me online at imediateinc.com. Call me at 561-262-9121, toll free at 877-822-1479, or email me at mbrickman@ichatmediation.com.